We're starting the Finance and Governance Committee meeting for the City of Tuxedo. This is July 11th, 2022. Our first item on the business agenda is item 1A is a resolution providing honorary designation of Jim Hackerson Street, and where our legislative analyst, Laurel Humphrey.
Thank you, Chair. I will be brief because I think the memo is pretty self-explanatory, but as we all know, our former mayor, Jim Hackerson, passed away in November 2021. He had a lot of years of service to the city, 30 years as a planning commissioner, a council member, and a mayor. So a long legacy and a lot of contributions to the city. And his family had approached the city about some kind of honorary naming initiative. We have done several of those over the years. And Councilmember Quinn brought it up toward the end of last year that something would be coming through. And so I had been communicating with the Hackerson family on what might be appropriate. Several discussions and ideas were floated around during that time. Where we've landed as of tonight is a resolution that would do an honorary naming of South 144th Street between TIB and 42nd as Jim Hackerson Street. This would be an honorary naming and not an official street change because street change would necessitate people updating their information, their addresses, bank accounts. It's a pretty big undertaking. The street segment was proposed due to his leadership during the time that Tuxedo Village came to fruition. And I think that's actually my summary. So I'll turn it over to you to facilitate.
Okay. I think I'll just go ahead and go to questions from both council members. Councilmember Delfrunas Johnson.
Yeah, my question was really about what is our historical practice around naming things? And the reason why I mentioned that is I just wonder what kind of precedent we're setting without like a process that this goes through, because I imagine either people from the past or maybe people from the future might want to address this issue at some point. And what kind of process are we setting up for the naming of streets, honorary naming? Mm-hmm. You know, the other day I was walking through, believe it was the Winter Garden, and there was a bench in honor of a former mayor, which is blanking my name at this moment, but you know, how do we make those decisions? And so I just wonder what kind of process we've had in place before so that we can kind of set a good precedent for the future. I think that it is a good thing for us to set up a process to create these opportunities to name parks, you know, benches, streets, or whatever, but I think we need a process. So that's kind of my thought. I hope that we can continue to discuss this, but I think that setting up some type of process around this would be good.
Okay. Councilmember Claus.
I think that's a great point. I would support that. What does an honorary designee look like? Is there the 144 sign and then below it says whatever the honorary is?
Yes. You may see in some cities, like I know City of Seattle has numerous honorary street namings, and it is exactly what you described, a sign that's placed below the actual street sign. It's got a different style and color even, so people don't confuse it, and there's often some kind of public dedication, and that's pretty much it.
So up on TIB, I don't know if the sign's up really high up on the wires up high, and then below that maybe is where you point go east and say, this is Jim Hackerson Street or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the placement of the sign. The stretch of road would be South 144th between those two streets, mm-hmm. So it would be something I guess I would need to talk with the streets department about, or the council could even, I mean, this is honorary, the council could decide where the signs go.
Yeah, across the intersection.
And I do remember his involvement with the hotels up on TIB, and I wondered, you know, what was one of his real passionate projects? I was on the planning commission at the time of Tuxedo Village, so I've read here in the memo, but I wonder, was there some other projects that were really more of his passion, mm-hmm. that would be appropriate, more appropriate, I don't know, for mm-hmm. The naming of He was 8-year mayor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'd like to understand a little bit more about some of the roles he played in these things, but I appreciate Councilmember Delstrius Johnson bringing up that the process is important for past experiences and future experiences.
Thank you.
Right, my take on it was multiple. I want to let everybody know I called Carol today to make sure she was understanding that we might have some discussions about our process. And she's, you know, after being married to a mayor and a former council member, she's quite aware that the ruminations can take a little while, but to get it right is important to councils. So she was very gracious about the whole thing. The things that they had considered, just so you know, was the pedestrian bridge, because he was really, really very important to the funding that came toward that. It was one that they initially were excited about, but maybe not so much because we haven't got our unhoused situation under control and graffiti, and that it's not on a throughway as hard as we'll get to. So it's not in a place where, you know, a lot of people would see it. So that wasn't a total no, but, you know, not as visible as they would have liked it, maybe. They talked about over by Sigali's property, the long 180th that goes to 186th. But that, I think, again, was too far on the corner of the city. I don't want to put words in mouth. That wasn't part of those discussions. When we talked about 144th, the family was wondering if they could even go past the high school and the administration building. And I think rightly we re-engaged and said, you know, that has a sense of place for the school board and the schools. And not all ideas are open, but it might be a harder ask considering, you know, they have their meetings over the summer, but it is summer. There's got a lot going on, and there's a lot of priority items going on with the school board themselves that, you know, this might be just one more wrench in the works for them on things that they have to consider and accomplish. So that's why the shorter street was applicable to her. And then when I was reading the memo, I didn't know which street was going to be picked. It took a paragraph to get there. And so I was thinking Click Attack because he was there for the ribbon cuttings for that. It was a big deal. And then I looked at the Strander, it crosses most of the width of the CDU, and so I started asking where are the other ones. And the pattern after talking to former council members was they give it to roads that are brand new. And that our conundrum was there was no brand new road being built here. And that is probably the situation for most cities that are more mature. It's going to be a policy and a process problem going forward. So good time for us to pause. When you look at the resolution, it's a committee that doesn't exist. And I had some thoughts on that. In another scenario, we pull the chairs of all of our committees and commissions together for a decision. It might be a thing where staff can put some ideas together. But I fancy the idea of having people care about art and parks and equity, diversity and inclusion, and people who care about who are from the Planning Commission. It feels like a bigger city-wide slice, and it has leaders that could go, yeah, some will have past history with whoever we've lost and some will not, who also might want to reconcile the fact that we haven't covered all the mayors. And is it a mayor thing? I want to put up front for public and anyone else, I'm not interested in council members getting to this pool of naming everything. But why do you name a building after someone? Why do you name a street after someone? Why do you name a park bench after someone? You know, levels of merits. So something for us all to turn on. And I think it would make sense if it came back here after we've had a chance to first look at this resolution and bring it current with some ideas. The second thing is that the street I thought of last, which I did talk to Carol about, because I kept thinking, why isn't it somewhere where all the other mayor ones are that I know of that, you know, aren't repeated in some other way? Because Foster, well, he's not mayor, but he's on buildings and parks and everywhere. Some people have got a lot of representation. So it came down to me. I was saying, you know, something that parallels Strander might be Tocolo Parkway. And from Lowe's over to Bahama Breeze might be a dignified area to have an honorary name there. They still, everybody keeps their addresses, but when people come in, they see And then we got stuck on, is it Taggart and Parkway, or do you call it Taggart Boulevard, or is it the Speedway, or is it the, you know, street or the avenue or whatever it is? Follow those rules. So that, there's one more. She was amenable to that street too. So food for thought just for that instance. What I'm hoping we don't do is come up with a framework that fences Taggarton out, since this thing kind of got us focusing on it. But that it's a framework, you know, some people do historical streets, you know, named after presidents. Some people do thematic ones after trees, different trees. Some people do some of the things that you were talking about. It could be historical figures in Tukwila. It could be, you know, named after mountains. It could be a whole lot of things. I just think we need to pause and figure out what that framework is. And is it new streets? Because that won't last forever. You know, eventually all cities can't build new streets, or they might tear one down and build one. And then what are our rules on renaming street? You know, contemplation was maybe we make it Haggarton, called Parkway for now. There's about 15 or 16 strip mall businesses that would be affected, all the business cards and letterheads and things like that. So maybe it's a thing, but there's a lot of turnover in there. So maybe it's a thing where you can keep that old address and it's valid, because it's still just, the streets are still numbered. But that, we encourage you to go to the Haggarton thing if you're a new business when you come in, and that's your address is that way. And just by the way, that another way of naming streets is I've seen street names with small numbers, and I rely on those small numbers in Seattle all the time. I trust that more than anything else when I'm navigating to figure out where I'm trying to get to, because I always usually have the number on the street. So that was a lot of commenting. Let's go around again. Council Member Delstrinus Johnson, why am I having trouble today?
I like your idea of creating, like, we want to think about when this would come up, because it's usually when there's a person that's made a significant contribution to the city that we would consider this. I like the idea of having like a diverse committee of people from different commissions or different boards and commissions, as well as city staff, like maybe the current mayor and maybe one city council member, but the composition. But I do think that there should be more thought that goes into the process of how we get to naming something. So I'm open to seeing another iteration of a creation of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think dedication, things to consider as part of that, and we can start to like create a list. Dedication to public service for the city, how many years, what was their specific contribution? Because I think that should be taken into consideration when like the selection of whatever it is to be named. How do you determine whether it's you change a name of a street versus the honorary? Like, is there some kind of different designation that we should, or is there some kind of other consideration that would make it so that someone should like signify a name change? Or maybe it's up to the committee to say we want to change this name versus do honorary. I don't know, but those are just ideas. I like the idea of creating a framework for a committee and then running this through there. And I think the committee would also consider the things that have already been done in this city, because we have to take into consideration what has been done in the past too, in just to be fair.
When you mentioned Klickitat Drive, that resonated with me as something. It was Jim Haggerton. He was pretty excited about
transportation, everything.
Yeah, but he was really excited about that change there for the whole urban center.
Right.
You know, and I remember him being pretty vocal about that. So, yeah, I like where this is going, and it should continue, but that one should get more consideration, because that does resonate with me as something he was pretty proud of.
The two things I know him most for is he was really into transportation. He did a lot. That was one of the things when I got elected, I wanted to push harder on. He already had a head start and had done a lot of great things for for the way we move north, south, east, and west didn't even exist when he stepped in as mayor. So those are important things. He also, for years, was on the internet community at national levels. So he really, really, really cared a lot about the last mile and what was going on with internet backgrounds and whether or not we were going to get it. So I think we actually benefited today from some of the things he set up in the past. I talked to Carol. She said he was really, really proud of what happened on TIB and taking back the boulevard. It was important to him. She said his greatest regret is that we didn't get a sports stadium, but was reassured that we kind of forced Seattle's hand in the hurry up to figuring out what they were going to do with all the sports stadiums. I can think of a whole lot of more things that he did. He did quite a few amazing things, and a lot of good things happened on his watch. So, and it doesn't rule out just exactly what's proposed tonight. That's why I assured her. Like, I want to make sure we're doing the appropriate amount. And then on a personal side, this might be a great opportunity when we get these leaders together to think about our history a little bit and think about the makeup of our current population and possibly the future population. What can we do and what cities do? Find ways to honor and acknowledge our cultural excellence, I think, in past, present, and future. So some people say, well, we're Tukwila, we don't want to do what other cities do, but I think this might be a good opportunity to see what other people have been doing that we admire and see if there's something we can pick up after that. And I will admit that some of the places that some of these mayors are, I don't think most of you ever drive past those streets because now we're trying to look them up. And some will come into their being. There's one, Bausch, I think his name is, on the other side of Tukwila Pond. It's basically a back alley road past those, you know, warehousey-type buildings right over the pond. So his future may be that he becomes a well-recognized name. So this is food for thought. You know, there's some changes happening at Fort Dent. Now, we have a lot of opportunities here. So, and I don't, I promised Carol we wouldn't drag foot so long that she'd have to do ribbon cutting in the snow in February. At the same time, it might be next summer, because we're going to make sure that she can do the ribbon cutting in a nice weather month. And if we need to take our time to get it right, fine. But let's not cue this up so the poor woman and her family are out there some horrible weather day.
So what would next steps look like? What would that be?
Well, first of all, we're saying we're not going to the COW with it, other than I'll report out. If Councilmember Quinn is willing to let me report out on this, or he can recap it if he'd like, then it would not go to the regular meeting at that moment. We're also going to now go back, having heard some feedback, maybe do a little bit of checking with other cities and come back with a, I don't know what the word is, a new resolution to replace the old one, or a revised one of the one we have?
A revised resolution. I will show you the existing language and some potential ideas.
Okay.
Based on what I've heard and maybe some ideas I come up with on my own.
It's kind of fun. I mean, go hit the ethic committee and see what they think. I mean, you guys have some amazing teams on the tool staff. Maybe able to help with this a little bit. Good enough for a very short subject.
Thank you.
All right. Second one is 1B, the monthly general fund update. Vicki Carlson, I think she's online, the finance director, and it's these last two items are discussion only.
Good evening, Vicki Carlson, finance director for the record. So tonight I wanted to give a general fund update. This is through May. So as of May 31st, based on financial data that's available as of July 1st, 2022, general fund departments expenditures total $25.2 million through May, which is $130,000 less than the allocated budget of $25.3 million. And I do want to point out that that shows 39% of the total department budget spent, whereas 42% of the year has been expired. Department 20, which is the transfers to other funds, totaled $1.3 million, $757,000 less than the allocated budget. We do calculate the allocated budget based off of prior year spending patterns. So it's not perfect, but that's the tool we have in place right now. And I also want to mention that transfers to capital projects are not done monthly. We do budget for them, but we transfer them only when the capital project funds need the cash for cash flow purposes. And so
if we don't need to do the transfer, we will not do the transfer. So again, they happen as needed. Debt service transfers, however, we do them quarterly because we do have payments twice a year for debt. In total, expenditures are tracking slightly below the allocated budget, which is great news. I do want to mention that as you look through the charts there, you will see a few departments that appear to be over the allocated budget. And that's because, if you recall, we received ARPA funds last year. And so we had a number of projects that were restored the second half of the year. So for the second half of the year, we had restored positions for parks, recreation, et cetera. They're in place for the full year this year. So we have expenditures occurring through May this year that did not occur last year. And that's why it appears that it's over allocated budget. There's really no cause for concern in any department, with a possible exception of fire. They are at 43% of budget spent right now. And as you know, fire department, their expenditures are pretty flat all the way through the year. They've had some significant overtime costs, so we are watching that very, very closely. That is the only department, though, that we're concerned about at this point. And so with that, I'll answer any questions you may have.
Councilmember McLeod.
I don't have any initial questions, so let me pass, and then we have one later.
All right. Councilmember Dellis-Johnson.
I don't have any questions.
Okay, so I guess I'll take up the question poll here. What you were telling me that there's somewhat of a transition. One isn't a change, and that is, I think you said capital projects will come in as they're spending things?
Cash is needed. So a number of our capital projects are funded by other existing revenue sources in their funds. So I'll just take the Arterial Street Fund as an example. So there's parking taxes, there's real estate excise tax. There's a variety of revenue sources that come in to help fund these projects. The general fund contribution is really after everything else has been expended. So we only transfer those funds when it's needed for cash flow purposes.
Okay, so just sort of addressing everything else and then moving it over, but you know, based on your estimates, that you're probably going to hit your marks.
Yes. And again, if our other revenue sources exceed our budget, then we would need less general fund allocations. At the end of the day, we will not transfer more than we have council authority for. You gave us authority for X amount, and we will not exceed that without council authority.
And then just only because I learned all about it from the CPA when we were commissioners of the pool, there's expectations of all kinds of fees and taxes coming at certain times of the year, and he would actually work the budget so that the need hit at the same time as the expected revenues would come in. Do we assess it like that, or are we still really waiting until accounts receivable become money in the bank?
It's based on money coming in the bank for cash flow. But I will say this is a year of transition. As you know, we did implement a new financial system. We went live at the beginning of January with phase one. So we are transitioning to new reporting tools. And our hope is that next year, rather than basing all of these projections and narratives against prior year projection or prior actuals, we can actually have departments do spend plans and base them off of what departments think they're going to spend, which will be much more meaningful. We're just not there yet. We're hoping to transition to that next year.
I'm used to that at the state, so that makes a lot of sense to me. Thank you. Councilmember McLeod.
Vicki, so I'm looking at your numbers here, and there's a few departments that are just a little bit over. Is there any trends or signs that you're seeing that kind of cause you alarm? Maybe they weren't enough to put in the report here, but, you know, you just kind of got your eye on them. And I see that Public Works and Parks and Rec are kind of over budget.
It's over the allocated budget, and it's because we had ARPA funds that came into play middle of last year. So July, August, September, council restored several programs, and those were the affected departments. So we have expenditures that occurred this year, January through May, that did not occur last year, January through May. So we had some positions that were unfrozen that are being funded by ARPA, parks maintenance positions, recreation programs. Just as one example, we restored the after-school program that started in September of last year. It was not in place the first January through May of last year, but it was in place this year. So it's really the timing of expenditures and providing that funding to restore some programs that were not restored the first part of the year.
Okay. I mean, we're going to kind of have that nuance all the way through the year then, because last year had...
Unfortunately, with these departments, yes. And it's because we base all of our allocated budgets off of prior year spending patterns, because we don't have the tool in place yet to do it based off of true current year spend patterns. We should have that in place next year. That's what we're shooting for.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Dillis-Sheldon.
I don't have any follow-up questions.
So I think this is a monthly update. Question for our budgeting processes. Do any of these numbers make it into an updated sheet in our binders?
For the next budget, we do plan on providing projected year end when we bring forward the budget, but we don't have that yet. We're still actively pulling the budget together.
I'm not trying to ambush it, just trying to figure out if any of this all interrelates. Okay, unless there's any objections, we're going to move on to item 1C, an update on Channel 21. Joel Bush is our Chief Technology Officer. Take it away, discussion only.
Okay, so I'm providing an update to our discussion earlier in the year in Channel 21. We installed our streaming service or capability in November of 2014. It went live in 2015. The cost was $27,000. We're going on 8 years now, and that's near the end of its useful life. We'll start for something that needs to be like reliable and available. It's getting to that time where we need to make a decision on replacing it. So currently the annual cost for the video on demand service and support maintenance is $3,500. I did research and reach out to other municipalities and to understand what their use of Channel 21 was. Pretty much every city streams their council meetings to Channel 21, but for emergency communications, they're not on Channel 21. They're on their YouTube channel, LinkedIn, Facebook, kind of thing. There is one city in particular that does a really good job of populating their Channel 21 with content and keeping up to date. That's Burien. They did some neat things to where recreation or exercise programs for place-bound people, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how often those videos are updated with new content, but they're doing something unique. So one of our challenges here, we don't have the resources to do that work. So it's something that if we want to do it, we'd have to prioritize it. I have been in discussions with the Foster High School and their audiovisual program director, and he says, you know, providing some content would be a good idea. One of the things that Tukwila students did was they recorded the Rainier Symphony and they edited it. So I'd like to, maybe that's an opportunity for new content that isn't available. And it wouldn't be much work for the city to, you know. And I'm also on their CTE advisory board. And to mature their programs, one of the things they have to do is they need real-world experience. And I think that would be real-world experience. And maybe not just limited to Channel 21, maybe like our city newsletter. Maybe the students do an article or something. So that's no cost. So I'll get into, but the challenge is prioritizing, having the resources to do the content. The financial impacts of it for the new streaming server would be $10,000. The total cost for year one would be $13,000. And the annual ongoing cost would be $4,200. So it's about $700 more than what we're paying for now. And one of the benefits of the new system is we've moved the hosting the videos to the cloud. So we get rid of some of the humming in the council chambers.
Right.
Any questions?
Council Member Dillis-Sheldon.
Well, if we don't move forward to Channel 21, how will this impact just the way we currently do city council meetings?
So 8 years of a server in an ideal environment, like with cooling, ventilation, dust-free, it's about 8 years, it will become more unreliable. And then you'll have frustrated people for if it's not working. Like as we did our transition, going through the bumps, you know, people get very frustrated when it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Get a Joe reported.
Yeah.
Joe Duffy was
so
Yeah.
So if we don't do this update,
yeah,
then it could, in 8 years, it could really severely impact.
Oh, the kid, we're getting close there now. So the servers are 8 years old.
Okay.
And they've been running nonstop pretty much for 8 years because the video demand is available 24 hours a day. So it's been running many, many hours.
Do you know, in terms of the, you know, you say that in order to add content, there needs to be somebody whose job that is, you know, like we
yes.
have to invest in something.
We
do
have
you
to
know,
prioritize it.
Do you know what that would cost? Like, would it be an FTE? Would it?
I wouldn't know what that would cost. We'd have to do more research, and I think that would be a Rachel Bianchi discussion on, you know, what that would look like to prioritize.
Okay.
But to keep what we have now, it's time to modernize.
Okay. That's my initial question.
That's a number to go.
So we make council meetings available on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be on 21? Like after we meet on Monday during the week, they're shown to people?
Yes, yes. They can be. You can schedule a whole program just like a normal station. But you need someone to curate that content.
What does that mean?
Research-free shows to upload so they're on the channel guide. So when someone goes to channel 21 at 11 o'clock, there's a show on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So once you have it captured, you can replay the council meetings.
Yeah.
Morning, noon, and night. Not that everybody would go tune
yeah.
in for these, but just, for example, I'm embellishing your question, so I'm just going to stop that because I have a lot of questions.
That's right. Yeah, they'll be playing throughout the week. Maybe they don't stay up late and want to watch
yeah.
a discussion that happens at 9 o'clock.
But if they have Comcast cable, they could DVR it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. My parents ain't doing that.
Yeah, mine's already answered. So that's the challenge about this, because so the people
mostly seniors aren't really
yeah,
liking.
That's the challenge, right? I can't think of an equitable way for everyone to have access with it not being there.
So you're recommending that we go to this new format?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the recommendation you're giving?
Yeah, that's the reliable stream our council yeah. meetings. But the conversation, that's another conversation, is how, if we want to populate Channel 21 with more content, how do we do it?
I love the idea of partnering with the school.
Yeah.
And it's a great idea. I've been to council maybe showing at noon or something, you know, once or twice during the week or different times, so people don't want to stay up late and watch, you know, a 10 o'clock discussion that's going on.
Yeah, that's I'll take that feedback back.
And I like the idea of the symphony, some just local things that are happening.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Could a school board meeting be on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. just use it for typical information and partner with the school district.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that type of stuff. I mean, I know it requires somebody to video it and
yeah.
take a look at it, but I don't know. That is one way to get information out for people. Then play it again during that week, but then not after the week.
Yeah. That I'll take that forward.
Okay.
So back in the day, I was on the board for Channel 77, which is our public channel. That's gone by the way, aside after a while. This channel business, getting a channel from our Comcast people, really hard one ground. 1980s regulations required it. And so when you give it up, it's gone with the wind. And they talk about peg channels. Sometimes it's all free. Help them, but usually it's public, education, or government. So ours is 21 is essentially government. By keeping it with the school system, you still have government, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're fine there. We could work with the University of Washington and King County both to figure out if there's government things that they might have already made, maybe county council meetings, something that's interesting to people. But we also have things that are from the arts. The city of Seattle has things from the arts. They make the content they might want to share, which is part of the conversation. So when you get to the FTE part, conversation is how can we make these deals, stitch it up, and how many hours a day would we want to be on? But that's beyond what we're doing now. Right now, in 4 years, we've covered the council meetings, and I think I've seen slideshows go by.
Mm-hmm.
That would be possible with the new Castus?
Yes.
Okay. And so looking for new content, but being careful not to turn this into a public channel, because once you do that, there's all kinds of freedom of expression issues start to come up, and who can be broadcast and how, what the quality should be. And I wholeheartedly believe that should always be strictly a public channel, because there's all kinds of legalities and issues that the city doesn't really want to deal with. And education typically is handed over to local community colleges. Well, we have Highline and other community colleges who have their own programming, so there's possibility that they would be happy to give us algebra classes, whatever they want, right, because they produce those as well. And they might be all be going online, but I think they all have Channel 21s and Channel 77s and so forth, so the content might be prevalent. It's just a matter of
who creates it.
Who you think, right? And it's only a matter of, you know, so then what I, where I get out of my wheelhouse is, you know, in the old days, you had a little center and you were just rolling videotapes. So how do you get their content and have it running off of Channel 21? Does that mean it has to be on DVDs, or is it to be sent, you know, as a...
There's like drop boxes now where you can send very, very large, like SharePoint.
Okay.
Drop boxes.
That's how you do it. And then you program it to take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And you just upload it, times box.
But for baby steps, I'm totally in agreement with the other council members in terms of running some of the stuff we run multiple times a day and make sure the public knows about it. I know that we are crazy enough to film candidates for office, and so maybe that's another venue for all older citizens to see content we make. I know the Juneteenth pieces could go up there, already made, correct? They might even enjoy seeing the employee awards, you know, understanding what employees did well, which groups did well this year. So there's a lot there. The only headache is the one person who's going to load it into, you know, your cloud and program it to run. But I don't think, you know, people... You'd be amazed how many people watch this stuff. It fascinates me. Again, I don't want to build up your to-do list. The amount of money here is actually incredibly cost-effective compared to what time value of money, compared to what it was 10 and 20 years ago. So I'm encouraged by this, not discouraged. And when you say ongoing cost of $4,000, call it $4,200 a year, that's pretty cheap insurance compared to the publications across month-to-month costs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage us to go with this. Do we already have a CASTA system? I got lost somewhere along the way.
We do have a CASTA system, but it's physically all the humming you hear.
It's coming from that.
It's coming from that. So it's a drive array.
So this would be a total upgrade, new servers, new...
Yes.
Will we keep our, whatever our...
So I'd have to look in. There would still be one smaller appliance that's there, but it won't be the big drive array.
Okay.
So that's the majority of the humming.
Okay.
So we can look in, can we move that, the CASTUS appliance thing that you actually upload to Channel 21, can we move that somewhere else and get rid of all the white noise?
Yeah. And then I'm amazed that you made the servers last this long. I'm used to seeing them turn over every 5 years or less.
Yeah.
So,
I'm surprised too.
Does someone feel like it's limping and going to fall apart any second? Or are we feeling like, we're past our
it's 8 years
life cycle, but it's not huffing and puffing. We've got time.
We reset it. Will spends the first thing he does when he gets in the office on Mondays is he goes and validate everything that's working. Monday, he does a check for hardware failures on Friday.
Okay.
So he doesn't get in and realize the drop. You know, we do preventative maintenance and check to make sure it's up and running the way it should be.
Okay. And for the FTE, whatever poor soul it is that may want to monitor to see if we're live at 8 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock in the morning, I remember there's federal income tax write-off for your television set if you are doing official duties from work in that capacity. So thank you a lot to whoever gets the duty to make sure it's still got quality going. Bob, for anybody, so discussion only, is there like support to keep continuing ahead with going to the new equipment, and then what would the next steps be?
The next steps would be see if we have the budget this year or a budget amendment, if that's required, and it's continuing the conversations with the Tukwila School District and Rachel filling her in, and you know, if this is something that we can, it's part of the budget discussion, right?
Right.
We're prioritizing.
Sure. And I don't know where that one learning lady is that teaches reading and stuff, the one that we see through the Children's Foundation.
Yeah. I know, the look, listen, learn.
Yeah, she might be interested in, you know, she's got the copyrights too, but she might be,
you know. She is, I know she is interested. It's like a early childhood learning programming, kind of like Sesame Street, but really focused on like culturally competent content and local.
Isn't she already on Tech TV or Channel 21?
Any?
Val Thomas.
Val.
She might have some episodes on there, but I know we're not spending a lot of time curating content.
Right.
It might be getting stale.
Yeah. So, you know, you literally can employ a person full time trying to worry about programming all year. So I appreciate that that's a problem and a deal. But from what we've been doing is pretty much we have council meetings and enrolling what the slides that go by talk about events or a festival or a fun run or, and I don't know who keeps those up to date.
It is the communications department.
Okay.
Scott Kirby primarily.
Okay.
I'm definitely interested in seeing something around communications and this built into it, because I think that communication is very important.
Right.
So
I would like to see like department heads, like public works, talk about projects they got going on.
That's pretty cool. They just plunk them down and just say what's going on.
Yeah, tell us about the project on 53rd.
They could just have slides so they don't have to feel like they're the man on
the scene. Citizens could go somewhere and hear the latest update on the 53rd Street project.
That'd be easy stuff too. Again, running a TV station is a whole number deal, so this is say go ahead, get the equipment, put it in the budget amendment. And you're saying how much more next year than this year would be the amendment?
It would be, I don't think we need an amendment because it's only, the delta is only $700 between what we're currently.
So just stay the course basically, and then let's see if we can be creative with some of this stuff. And just try to figure out our audience. I think people will tune in if they know what to expect. And I don't know that we publish what's there. And, you know, except for through the channels in the middle of the night, I might watch four or five slides. I personally don't take cable, so I don't know. But in my old behaviors, I would. And so that's where people kind of learn. And I think some of those slides can be the TV schedule, so that helps. And the only thing that crossed my mind, which is, because I started out on television, Ted Turner. And why did he buy the Atlanta Braves? So he could fill up hours and hours and hours of television with sports. So if they're videotaping those football games and those basketball games and the wrestling tournaments and, you know, don't mind throwing the digital file our way, that's also another possibility is, just saying, you know, from here to here is sports, and we just run whatever sports they have that week. Anyhow, thank you for the update. I'm glad it's not overwhelming in cost. And when I first got here, guys, we didn't broadcast anything. So that was my big move, was to try to get us onto something. And actually, this software and stuff's way better than what we ever started. Okay. Anything for the good of the order? Any material issues anybody have?
Can I ask one of the three of you, perhaps you, since you chaired the meeting, to at tonight's council meeting remind the public that there's a budget town hall tomorrow at 5:30, and that you can attend in person or remotely. Council members will be in person, but the public can attend remotely.
And if they were going to look it up?
If they go to the city's website, there's a newsfeed article about it. It's also on the city's calendar to get the link.
Okay.
Also, all the people that subscribe to the Friday email of all the upcoming agendas, they have that link in their Friday email.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. This meeting is concluded.
Thank you. Uh-huh.